Hi, everybody. Welcome to Paul Lisnick, Behind the Curtain, my opportunity to step away from the worlds of politics and law you watch me cover on television every day into the world of theater, the arts, and magic. And isn't it more fun to talk about those kinds of things anyway? So today, I'm going to combine theater with magic in its truest sense, because joining me is the latest star who's playing at the Chicago Magic Lounge. You can catch him now through March 26th. And that is this kind of up-and-coming, amazing magician named Trent James. Trent, I've been to your show. It's amazing. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much, Paul. Thank you for having me on today, and thank you for coming to the show last week.
I loved it. By the way, the night I was there, now, unfortunately, anybody who comes to see you afterwards won't have this experience, but sitting right behind me was pretty much the whole cast of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, and I'm guessing you knew they were there before you came on?
Yeah, I did hear they were going to be there, that we were going to have some other wizards in the crowd, you know.
So I was sort of curious, because here you are, a magician doing things, and I know these people are actors, but they're actors who live in a world of magic. I mean, as opposed to having the cast of Hello, Dolly, you know, I mean, so were you influenced? God, I'm with these folks who are kind of dealing with magic all the time. I'm just curious, did it influence you at all, or is this, no, there's more people sitting there?
I think it made me excited that they're like a little, they're a little in, like they do some magic in the show, some wizardry, some magic tricks in Cursed Child. So I know they know a little bit, but I think it was cool for them to see other things that they're not familiar with, or maybe they're familiar with one piece of it, and then as a whole they can still get tricked. I think that was fun for them. I mean, they were such a great audience, great addition to have in the room.
Well, yeah, based on their faces and one actor named Zach, I mean, you just blew him away with stuff you had going on with him. So, but let's talk about your show. It's sort of an interesting name. You work with this it's called Static Magic. And when I first saw that, I'm like, okay, what does that refer to? The truth is, when you see the show, it could have a couple of different references. And I'm guessing that's the plan. Let it refer to a few different things.
Yeah, I think there's a few different meanings. There's the kind of static of the TV that is kind of used throughout the show, and that really comes from me sitting in front of a TV as a kid, watching VHS tapes, these teaching magic VHS tapes. I would put these in. And I'd watch these tapes over and over and over, and to the point that I could feel I would get so close, I could feel the static electricity of the TV. You know, this is when we still had our vintage big heavy TVs.
Had
You still have yours. I still have mine.
come to
Okay.
my house. I mean, yeah, we'll be watching VHSs all day.
This is true. I love VHS to this day, but I would watch these tapes, and I think that's why I still have such a connection to the VHS media form. But I would watch these tapes, and I'd learn magic. I'd rewind, watch different moves over and over, and I would be obsessed with this. I would dive into this world of magic, and it became my life. And this is kind of retelling some of those pieces through a fun storytelling lens of a giant TV.
And you share your part of your life story with us in the show. You say you began this at the age of 5. Now, I've got to tell you, look, I'm not going to be the first one to say this to you, but a lot of the magicians I interview are 95 and above, and you know, or maybe in their 40s or
Yeah.
whatever. I think you pretty much rank as the youngest looking magician who I've interviewed. So when you started at the age of 5, I was going to yell out from the audience, "You've been doing this for 3 years!" No,
Right.
but out of curiosity, is something that you started so young? But here's the thing. Even at a young age, like I used to do a little magic when I was little, but I never was good at it. You had some help because your father was in this world, so you had support in going in this direction.
Yeah, definitely. My dad is an amateur magician, never went full time, but my dad and my mom knew the world of magic. Like, they'd been to some magic like conventions. They kind of had a little bit of a foot in the door. And I think that helped when I became interested in magic and became interested on taking magic, my magic to the next level and becoming a full-time performer. I think having the fact that they knew that I wouldn't starve, that there is a way to make this a living, to make this your life, that helped them understand it all. And they were very supportive of me, you know, in high school being like, I'm not going to go to college. I'm going to go full time into doing magic.
So you avoided the Trent, you're going to law school conversation.
I don't know if my grades were quite that of law school worthy. I feel like I knew early on that magic is what I wanted to do. And I was young and silly, naive, you know, to not really know all of the ins and outs of it. But they let me like kind of run with it and let me kind of like, you know, there was never any, are you sure you want to go, you know, get a degree in this
You
or
sure
that?
they weren't like at night when they're going to sleep, going, he'll grow out of this?
I mean, maybe they never told me about those
Well,
conversations. So maybe that's for my.
I'm glad they did. I'm glad they've supported you and letting you do what you
Yeah,
do.
I feel very lucky to have that. I mean, my dad, I mean, it's lucky to have a magician father. He taught me a little bit of magic, but he was really supportive in like, you know, helping me build props and work out different things, driving me to gigs. He was kind of my roadie with it all, you know, changing out the CDs for each different trick and
And the
whatnot.
VHSs.
And the VHSs.
Yeah. Well, of course, my review of your show was spectacular. It appears at aroundthetownchicago.com. It'll also be on WGNradio.com. I just loved what you're doing. And I love the fact that from time to time, you also share a little insight. I mean, here's the thing, and this is part of, you know, being sort of youthful in doing this, is that you can connect with the audience in a way that a lot of people can't. So I don't like to give a lot of your stuff away, but you know, if we're not giving you the response that you are thinking you might get, you let us know. You know, if there were, we should be doing something, you let us know. And I love it. It plays well. I mean, it just, and because at least the night I was there, you had, you know, such a youthful cast joining us and all that. But people really got into it and really got a kick out of it. You brought us right with you quickly. And the relationship between magician and audience is critical because if you don't get us, the show is no fun.
Right. Yeah. And if you don't get me, the show is no fun also. You know, my job as a magician is, of course, to show you magic, but also as a performer, I want to make sure you have a good time. I want to make sure you're having fun, that just the vibes are good. And I want you to like me and understand me. So I find that the more honest I am as a performer, the more truthful I am as a performer, the more I can connect with my audience. And so I'm always trying to tear down that fourth wall. As a magician, I'm there to me, there is no, you know, like no fourth wall at all. We are in the room together. We are experiencing this together. How close can I get you to the action? That's my goal. But yeah, I've been lucky enough to be performing for a lot of younger people for much of my career. I've spent basically since graduating high school performing for college students, developing a lot of the material. I would say who I am, making my, you know, getting myself more comfortable to be my true self on stage. But that stage time in front of my peers, you know, sometimes at first people older than me, then my peers. I feel like I've really been able to get comfortable on stage.
Yeah.
You know, I've been doing it so long at this point. So much of my life has been spent on stage in front of people that I feel like there's no fourth wall. And then I'm trying to create less and less of a wall, you know, between, you know, personality wise, between
Right.
me and the
And
audience.
it works. I mean, I'll be honest, you triggered kind of a memory for me. So I was a law school dean at age 26. So I was fairly young and doing that.
Wow.
And I also did a lot of teaching out there, training of lawyers. So I would appear at bar associations and stuff. And the audiences were all older than me. You
Yeah.
know, I'm in my mid-20s, whatever, and they're all 50 and 60 and 70. Maybe it's why I connected with you sort of in that way. I was thinking about, you know, I've been through that. And the truth is, it's all about confidence and when you know what you're doing, then the bottom bottom line is people may be older you, and or in my case, they may have had practiced law for longer periods of time, but it didn't mean they knew what I knew as well as I knew it. And that's what you do so well. The other thing I love is that from time to time, you share the inside of a trick. Again, I never like to give anything away. I think I can fairly say, so there's one involving an egg. We'll just say an egg. And you share a little bit about how that happens. And of course, when we learn how it happens, we do this, and reminded me of interviewing, I don't know if you know Mark Tolan, you probably do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I love Mark. And so one time, every time if I have him on or something, I always say, okay, Mark, let's tell me how you did that. And one of the things he said to me was, the truth is, Paul, if I ever told you how I did what I did, you'd be incredibly disappointed. Do you find that true? So is it, when you were young and first getting into this, did you learn tricks and go, that's it?
I think for me, no, because I think I didn't know it then, but I'm an analytical, like, I like to know the ins and outs. Like when I go to a theme park, I'm on the ride staring over like the railing, trying to see the other like ride vehicle interacting, waiting for like the smoke to come up.
With your lap thing on, though, right?
What's
With the
that?
lap thing is on tight.
Yes, it's on tight, but
Okay.
just so I can lean just to see like, oh,
I want you safe, Trent. I want you safe.
I love, I in a weird way, I'm spoiling the magic for myself. But I think I like that aspect. And I think there are a lot of people who like to learn to see how the tricks are done. But I agree with Mark. It's not about how they're done. Usually, the secret to how the magic works can be maybe simple in concept. But what comes to the execution, that's what really makes it magic.
And
But
by the way, I'm gonna,
I'll show you.
without ruining anything on that egg concept, you share about what it is you've done, except then you take it to a new level that surprises the audience. So you'll tell us something, but at the same time, you then go, but I'm always a step ahead of you. I don't mean that in an egotistical way. It's just, you're just showing us you are the magician. And just the response to what you do next was this big wow, across the audience. Tell me how you did that.
A small bribe, and we can talk about it off Zoom,
All
Paul.
right, that maybe that's probably safer. So
Well, I think
once you
it's important to be a few steps ahead as a magician, and that's part of my job. That's part of my job is to be
But
a
you also have to be an audience. The night that I was there, we had a 31-year married couple, Patty. I forgot his name. Was it Tom?
Patty and Tom,
Patty and Tom. So, you're able to involve some people, but you also have to be very careful at who you pick, right? Because I noticed you didn't pick me, for example. Are you concerned that when you pick certain people, it's like they're going to think they're the star of the show and they need to understand, I need them to do what I need them to do? Have you ever had somebody who like is, they're so whatever on stage that you're a little bit worried of, like, okay, you're a little much here.
Absolutely. I've been performing long enough that I feel like I've encountered a little bit of everything. I performed on some cruise ships before where people can get a little intoxicated. And
Ah.
you get them up there and they're on a cruise. They're having the time of their life. They're partying, and it can be kind of hard to wrangle them to try to get through a card trick so that people can understand it and appreciate what's going
Yeah.
on.
Plus, by the way, if you're on the cruise ship, that means you're on the cruise. So don't you have people, like, do you ever get to lay out in the sun and just enjoy yourself? Or do you have people coming up to you when you're just like in your bathing suit, no pockets, no anything, and they're like, come on, Trent, do something.
Definitely, definitely. That's just a part of that world is you are Mr. Magician. You are on. I'll be like getting food at the buffet and people like will be whispering, is that the kid magician we saw last
He
night?
just turned the chicken into spaghetti. I don't know how he did
Exactly, right. Which is fun until you've done it like about a million times and
it.
you like they're asking if you they can make you can make it their wife disappear for the 800th time.
Right. But you have set lines on how to, but not, but when you get those questions, I imagine you have fun with it as opposed to saying, no, I can't, leave me alone.
No, I'm not that kind of person.
You're not that
But
guy.
to me, it becomes how can I say something fun that makes me kind of laugh? How can I, what kind of a new response can I say now that I've heard that so many
Yeah,
times?
I love that. And during the show, you do a lot of laughing, and I love that. It just means you're with us, we're
I'm
part of
having
you.
fun.
Yeah, you're not laughing at, you're laughing with us,
Yeah.
which is so great. So let's go back a little bit about how you learn your things and do your things, because you work with boards, you work with props, you work with cards. All of those are different skills. I'm a huge lover of magic. I can't, when I was a kid, I used to have the balls and the cup and the rings and that was my
Yeah. All
level.
right. All right.
But I can show you those. But you work in a variety of different things. So what, talk a little bit about that start and how you get ready for all of that.
Yeah, my way into magic is different than most because my dad was already, had some tricks under his belt. Most people go from close-up magic to stage. I went from stage magic to stage, and then kind of learned close-up magic later on in my life. So when I was a kid, I did a lot of manipulation magic, and what that means is manipulation of objects to look like they are gone or have appeared or have duplicated or transported, things like that. So when I was a teenager, I studied that kind of manipulation, sleight of hand magic, and that impacted a lot of the magic that I'm doing today. So a lot of the magic you saw would not be in that true category of that sleight of hand manipulation. That when we think of that magic, we think of like kind of like the classic guy in the tales doing the, kind of card fans and whatnot. And what I do is different, but I find what makes me unique is I have that brain of that sleight of hand manipulator. And that has impacted my magic. So you see a lot of magic with a lot of unique items, a lot of different items, using that kind of manipulation, sleight of hand thinking, to create some unique feels and moments in the show.
So
But yeah, it comes from that like background of, that I was doing an act when I was a kid. I had an 8-minute act. That was it. I would do 8 minutes to music. I wouldn't talk because I was a kid, so you didn't want to hear me talk. And I would do magic silently, this visual, sleight of hand. And then I kind of grew out of that, and I wanted to get my voice into it. So it became this kind of unique sort of blend of the two. And I think that has impacted the way the show looks, and feels.
Of course, with Table Magic being born here in Chicago, and the experience at Chicago Magic Lounge is great because you get in there. Arriving is an experience in itself. We're not going to touch that, so people can go through that experience when they arrive. But then you sit down. You have people coming to your tables, Hennick and Justin, and all these folks who have been coming there so long. We all just know each other now, and it's so great that we do the Table Magic, and it all leads up to you and that period of an hour plus that you're going to be with us on stage. When you put that show together, because you're now the headliner for that show, is that a show you put together, the Static Magic? It's for Chicago Magic Lounge. It's for that. Or if I hired you to do a bar mitzvah, are you going to say, that's what I'm going to do?
No, I mean, there are a few pieces from the show that are, part of my repertoire that I've been doing. Some of these tricks are part of me. They're not just tricks. I mean, they're pieces of me. And I've been doing them for a long time, and they look different. But Static Magic as a whole, there are a few unique pieces in the show, and then the whole of using the TV as this storytelling element kind of brings it all together. It is a unique thing that we put together for this. You can see a few different other pieces of the show elsewhere, but if you want to see Static Magic, you have to see it at the Chicago Magic.
Yeah, and the support you get, I can tell you, Joey, Cindy, but they all love you over there, and it's so great because it's what an environment to grow in, as your career is certainly going to continue to do. I mean, that's why I'm glad we're talking now, because I'm thinking 5 years from now you're going to go Paul Who and you won't talk to me. I got to get you while I can.
Right.
Now I
Before
know you've got
you
to. Exactly. So you got to, going back to the beginning, I know you have a little something you can share with audience members. People who are watching us love to see a little something. Remember, some people are just listening to us. So
Totally.
I'll invite you to do that and just talk your way through for the folks who aren't looking. If they're not looking, they should go to YouTube and soon go to WGN Plus, the WGN app, and watch it there. But for now, it's yours.
Absolutely. This is an optical illusion. So this is a visual illusion, but you can still listen, and you might even be so impressed you're going to go back to the YouTube or through the app to
Here you
watch.
go. All right.
This is a visual illusion that I will show you how to do. It's a simple one. Some of you might recognize this, but this is a trick with a piece of cardboard with a spot.
It's a red spot in the middle of a piece of cardboard.
Yeah, it's just a spot. This is actually a piece of cardboard with four sides. Now, I know that might sound crazy, but those of you watching, you can see there's one spot on this side. There's four spots on this side. There's three spots on this side and six spots on this side. It's a four-sided piece of cardboard.
All right.
I'll tell you what. I'll let you in on the secret. There are some spots here. You get a piece of cardboard. You're going to draw some spots. You draw not one spot, but two spots. Two spots.
Ah, so you, okay.
Five spots on this side. Paul, I think you're catching on.
I think I am.
If you cover
It's the
here,
magic of the hands.
right, it's the magic of the hands. This one you just cover there. It just looks like one spot, right? That's not rocket science. That's just covering a spot.
Yeah.
If you place your hand here, it gives the illusion of a third spot. Just the illusion, not actually there. Same deal here. You cover there, looks like four. There, looks like six. That makes sense, right?
You could do three if you did like this with the two hands on
Yeah, I mean, you can. Well, that's the
the
illusion,
other.
right? It's really all in like how you move the board. That's
Right.
what create a really convincing optical illusion. Like as you move the board, it really can look like there are three spots on this side and six spots on that side. It really can look like they are
You
there.
just did that again. You did it again where you showed us what you're doing, and then I'm going, okay, I got it. That's easy. And now you just did something that I'm like, what did he do?
Well, this is because it's an optical illusion, Paul. It looks like there's six. There's not actually six. Like it looks like there's three here, but you remember, like I'm just holding like the spot of a spot. So
Right.
that you think you see a spot in that spot. I realize this might be a little confusing for those of us listening via
For those who
audio.
are just listening, what I can just say is as he's flipping a board around that looks like it has two sides, and depending on where your hand is, that there's different numbers of dots showing up. I thought I knew how you were doing it because you showed us that you were covering a dot to create an illusion. I was with you on that,
You're
Trent.
with me.
And then you like turned it again, and there's more dots than you were ever talking about. And so it
Right.
is
There's
not about what
two
you're
on this
covering
side.
up.
How many? There's two on this side, and you remember, Paul, how many on the other side?
Well, if there were five, there could be six. Well, there's six if
Eight
you're not going to
spots,
cover
Paul. Eight
anything.
spots. That is how many.
We're
And the
now
whole
seeing eight
reason there's
spots.
eight on that side is because there's none on this side. That's it. Yeah, I have no clue how that trick works, Paul.
Wow.
Honestly,
And
that's
you're not even doing one of the things where like you're closing little windows or anything. You're not, this
no.
is not a closing the window thing.
No, it's just a piece of cardboard. You can make one of these if you want. You can.
So Trent, that is what I'm talking about. Thank you for that. And again, folks won't listen. If you didn't quite get it from our discussion, if you're listening to this because you're on Spotify or something, just go to YouTube and check it out. But yeah, the reality of it is that that's what you do. You give a little insight to something. We feel good because we've got it, and then also a little disappointed because it wasn't all that hard. We could do it. And then you take, just like the eggs, you take things to a new level. We're going, wait a minute, you just messed me up. But that's your style. That's what you do.
Yeah, I
Messing
gotta
with
let
us.
you in a little bit behind the curtain.
Yeah. I see what you did there.
Yes.
Right? But or did you know you did
No, I did see
that?
it.
Okay. Thank you for that. When you think of magic, thank you for sharing that. When you think of magicians, I mean, there's especially today, there's the Penn and Tellers of the world. Have you had your spot on Foolish yet? Is that coming?
No, not yet. I mean, there's been conversations, there's been talks, but I haven't found a. I feel like I've been in a process of my focus has been the show and building the show and working on the show, and I never wanted to rush, Fool Us or America's Got Talent. That's a big opportunity. That's like a thing, like America's Got Talent. That's like a thing you do once.
Yeah, right.
I want to find the right time, and as we've said, I'm still young and I'm still figuring, I'm on the right path, but I'm still figuring some things out, and I think before that jump, they're it's coming. We'll see. We'll see.
So when you think of a Penn and Teller or David Copperfield or something like that, that is a classic brand of magic we're all familiar with. But you just mentioned America's Got Talent. So some time ago I interviewed Shim Lim.
Yeah.
And when you I'm sure you're familiar with Shim's
Absolutely.
work, right? He's a really nice guy too. It's just an incredibly nice guy. But when you watch somebody like him, Do you look and go, I know what he's doing? Or do you look and go, no, he's got me fooled too?
I think, it's funny with Shin. We kind of grew up on the scene together. We were
He grew up
competing.
in Chicago?
No, in the magic competition scene. So we would
Oh.
go, and he would be competing in close up. I would be competing in stage. He's a few years older than me. We got to know each other, through that. There's a lot of competitions that I was the lucky winner of the stage, and he was the winner of the close up. Which was really cool. But I think as a magician, we can surprise each other where we go, oh, I had no idea that was coming. I didn't see the little setup or get ready or whatnot. I think that's where as a magician we can surprise each other. I think part of the fact that we know what each other's doing is what can make it kind of more impressive. I think that's, part of magic, and part of what makes magicians love magic is they know
Yeah.
all of the ins and outs of what's going on.
So a magician's code question, since you know Shin, and he was also at WGN, and in fact, I gave him a ride back to his hotel and stuff. If you guys were hanging and having drinks, and you did a trick and he did a trick, would it be your style to go, let's show each other how we did it, or magicians don't do that?
If it's in, I think magicians will like, they'll do like a see who's around, But they're willing to share. Magicians are very sharing when it comes to other magicians, and when the company's right, when they know that it's not just about the secrets, when they want to know, all the impressive details of it and how they like put their little spin. Yeah, I knew you were going with this, but this part got me. How'd you do that? Those are the kind of special conversations, you can have with magicians and we have here at the lounge, and it makes everything better too. It helps improve everything and makes us all better performers.
So the reality is I need to be sitting at the bar with you and Hennick and Justin, all those guys, and then you forget that I'm not a magician. And when I say, how'd you do that? You'll just tell me.
We need to be drinking enough
Yeah.
for it
Well,
all.
we'll ask Cindy and Joey. I think with Joey, we're good with that.
It's the right blend.
And it will be a blend for sure of red wine, I'm sure. So let's talk a little bit about the more about the show itself, because I want people to, because we're learning a lot about you, which is great. But you work with audience members, there's cards, there's again, I try not to give anything away, but there's a trick where you're getting tied up in some ways, and then things just start happening, and the audience is like, wait, what did he do? What did he do? What did he do? You must love those moments of the, I mean, you're doing something, you're not even telling us what you're doing, we just start to see it. And we're just floored by what is this guy doing?
Yeah, some magic in the show is very in your face. Some magic is very clear, and some magic is subtle, and some magic takes a moment for people to notice. So it's fun with different tricks in the show where during this pickpocket demonstration,
Yeah.
as we're talking about here, there's a moment where different people notice the magic moment at different times, which is a really fun moment in the show, and one of the reasons I love that part of the show is because it's magic that feels very unique. It's magic that people can experience in a different at different moments for each other, and then all together kind of as once I kind of nudge them in that direction.
So how long does that? So if you're going to create an illusion, a trick, whatever it is, it sounds like your format is to say, I need to start somewhere, and I'm going to start somewhere where the audience thinks they're following me, because we're all watching, right? Even with the pickpocket thing, we're not giving anything away. We're watching your hands. You're even telling us what you're likely to do. But then, of course, you blind signed us, and we're like, what did he do? And so, but is that the way a trick gets put together? You think about, how do I walk them down a certain path? Let them think they're with me until they're not.
See, I think that comes from, I feel like that goes back through magic through forever, that premise. But people like Penn and Teller are able to really do it in a way that is believable, and you're all, as you said, you're really learning something. And I think that's what I want to get across as well. I want people to really be able to learn something, and then and also be happy there's a surprise at the end. But yeah, there's a lot of different ways to go about doing magic. But to me, when it comes to creating a new magic trick. It all starts with a visual for me. And the visual for that trick was the interaction with the audience member and me getting, tangled, let's say, with an audience member. That's how that whole trick started. And from there, I started, picking different things. Here's this classic. There's this trick that's 100 years old. How can I revive this? How can I refresh this for an audience in 2025? What does that look like as a 28-year-old performing this trick? How can I make it work for me? So for me, it's usually the visual. There's other moments in the show, I want the visual is an audience member gets to do the magic trick. Okay, how can I accomplish that? And then over, thousands of shows, I will work out these different tricks and find what works best, what doesn't, and you kind of get what you saw on stage.
And do you run that by, like, you're friends with magicians there, so do you sit down with one of them and say, "Hey, I want to show you what I'm doing, and can you help me with this?" Do magicians do that kind of a thing, or it's your
Oh
own
yeah,
goal?
absolutely. There's a number of performers, Paige, Louise, Ryan. There's a number of performers that,
I love Paige Thompson, by the way. Yes.
right, wonderful. We always talk about different tricks we're working on, and usually it'll just be like, with me, I'm more of explaining. I can kind of walk through. They know what I'm kind of doing, and they can kind of see it, and we'll kind of talk through things, walk through things, and then they'll kind of see it on stage in front of the audience and kind of see it, how it really is performing, how it really looks. 'Cause that's really how you test things. You can't really know how something is going to go until you get in front of an audience. With magic being an interactive form, I think at its best, you really have to get in front of an audience to test things out. But yeah, that point of community and working on things with one another is so important. Part of what's so special here at the Chicago Magic Lodge is we, behind the scenes, we all are working on making each other better and wanting to see others
And
succeed.
then you hit that pinnacle, and you get the sense there's no ego there. There's nothing like that. I mean, this is your couple of months to be in the sun in terms of the headliner act, as I said, through March 26th. By the way, so now someone like Hennick, for example, he was a headliner some time back, and now he's doing some other things. So if people aren't able to get there on a Wednesday night, are there other nights you're there? Say, oh yeah, you'll catch me at the bar outside. You'll catch me at the tables. Will we see Trent in other places within the club?
Absolutely. So after the run, I'll be in some other places, in other rooms here in the 654 Club, on stage doing some shorter sets. I also will be doing the family show a few times, in between, throughout the run. I don't want to date this too much, but you can check the website out for
Yeah,
that.
but
Yeah,
right. Go to ChicagoMagicLounge.com and with it. But the point is, people, if they say, I just can't go on a Wednesday, they can see you.
they can see me other times. The show itself that w lives on Wednesdays, and that probably will stay with that and kind of be the show that we run for this 3 months, and then kind of move on from there. But there will be pieces that'll still be seen. But the fun part is after this run, you get to kind of work on the show and expand on ideas, and then from there, I'll be working on new magic.
Exactly, and going to other places. By the way, I also want to tell people I never have dinner before I come there because those little short rib sliders and the fries and the I
It's
mean
so
the
good.
menu is fantastic. I know you've got in fact a new chef there,
Yes.
but the food is just amazing. So, do they give you free food? I know you're not alone in the room, so I'm going to try and get you free food. Do you get the free food?
We get a little deal with some meals. No, it's great. I love our food here. I'm so lucky to be performing in a place that has good food because we get to eat that good food, and those fries are, I could eat those fries
I
just.
make those disappear. I don't need to be a magician to
It's
make those
amazing.
disappear. And the special things, I'm a huge lover of barbecue sauce, and it's not on the menu. And so, like I said to the server, do you have barbecue sauce? She goes, I don't know. You made it appear because you're a magician.
Yes.
Barbecue sauce appeared on the table. Anyway, so the whole point is it's a whole experience. You get there, you hang at the bar ahead of time, come in the room, it's the table magic. You as the headliner on Wednesday night, you get that whole show. And then even then, I just kind of hung around. Well, you know that. But I sort of hung around for a while. It's just like home. It's such a very welcoming place. You're in a good home over there. You grew up in this area, by the way, right? You grew up in the burbs.
I grew up in the burbs. I love the Midwest. I love Chicago. I feel so lucky to have some local references to the Chicagoland area in the show.
It really is what makes you special. Before I lose you, I want to remind people that Trent James is at the Chicago Magic Lounge on Wednesday nights. ChicagoMagicLounge.com is the website. Yeah, it's the website. Or 312-366-4500. You play through March 26th. I hope to see you again. You're fabulous, Trent. I just can't remember. 5 years from now, promise you'll remember
Thank
me.
you. Thank you, Paul. Thank you so much. You are amazing.
Thanks for being with me.
We'll see you later.